Welcome to Shaylee and Katie, the podcast. We're two work-from-home entrepreneurs who are laughing their way through life, parenthood, and owning creative businesses.
I'm Katie Day, a photographer, comedy writer and performer, and mom of four.
And I'm Shaylee Murphy, a video producer, interior designer, and mom of one.
Hey guys, I want to talk to you a little bit about our sponsor, FreshBooks Cloud Accounting. Okay, raise your hand if you're super creative and the idea of a creative business sounds dreamy and magical. Okay, I can't really see you because this is a podcast, but I'm assuming your hand is raised unless you're driving, in which case lower your hand. Now, raise your hand if you're super good at numbers and you love math. Oh, what's that? Your hand's not raised? Yeah, me neither. I feel ya. If you're creative, this is the accounting program that you need because they thought through everything for you. You don't have to think about it. It's all user-friendly. It's pretty. It's pretty. It's designed really well. And with just a couple clicks, you can invoice, you can time track, you can keep track of your mobile expenses. They literally dumbed it down so the number challenged people can run a business and just focus on what they're good at, which is the creative stuff. Check them out at freshbooks.com. And enter Shaylee and Katie in the How Did You Hear About Us section. FreshBooks. Now keep your hand on the wheel.
We'd like to talk a little bit about Inspire Good Publishing. So Inspire Good creates beautiful tactile paper goods and products. So they inspire good for yourself and for other people, and they make a positive impact on the world. One of their products is called the Acts of Good Journal, and basically it's created as a blank canvas in a tangible book that you release into the world through doing acts of good for other people. And then the acts of good are documented into the journal as they're passed along. So at the end of it, the journal gets shipped back to you, and you have like a whole manuscript of how you made the world a better place. Instead of a passport with stamps, you're basically collecting stories of good actions. It's the coolest idea ever. And Katie and I both have one.
Yeah, it's super cool, guys. And it's really well designed. It's so pretty.
They're beautiful. And we're so excited to send ours out into the world and see what amazing stories come back. What a great gift idea if you're looking for something unique and different, but also beautiful to give.
Except good. Yep. Inspire good.
So right now is a great time to pick one up. They just recently released volume 2 of the Acts of Good Journal, and you can get yours at inspiregood.com. You can also use the promo code podcast to receive 25% off your entire order. We'll link it in the show notes on shayleeandkatie.com so you can check it out for yourself.
Hey guys, welcome back to Shaylee and Katie, the podcast. Guess who's off maternity leave? It's me.
Katie. She's off maternity leave, but Sadie's still on her.
She's still on my body. I'm wearing her for this podcast. Let's see if it works. I don't know. Hey, does it sound like my voice has more enthusiasm than it did the last, 12 recordings?
It sounds like you're like a 10.5-pound baby less.
Oh, who had a 10.5-pound baby left? Like, who?
I think that was who delivered? Like you.
Wait, someone delivered a 10.5-pound baby and lived to tell about it?
Apparently you live to tell about it and your recovery is going to be like smoother than mine.
Oh.
With my 1 8-pound baby.
Oh, well, you're like, it's
proportional.
It's proportional. Let's talk about this.
All of your, okay, no.
Let's talk about the size of the host.
All of your babies have been like 7-ish pounds?
Yeah, 7'6", 7'7", 7'6".
And then Sadie was like,
10'4".
10'4". Which on 10-4.
Yeah, we made the joke that it's like, it's October 4th. Maybe she'll be 10-4.
That's hilarious. And God was like, who's laughing now?
Yeah, it's kind of puzzling. I don't really understand how that happened. I don't.
So how does it feel to have a baby that big?
Not great, Shay. Not great.
Are you doing okay? How's the sitting going?
Oh, I feel great now. It's she's 4 weeks old yesterday, so.
Okay.
If you are listening and you're like, wait a minute, last recording you were still pregnant, this recording you have a 4-week-old, that's because we recorded ahead a bunch.
That's why we haven't been releasing on the last Tuesday of the month.
Yeah,
through January.
Like a scattered maternity leave, if you will.
Yeah, a scaternity leave.
Yeah, that's what they call it in the biz.
That's what they call it in the podcasting business.
You guys can take that and use it. Okay. Well, speaking of giving birth, we're going to be talking about birth stories today.
After birth.
Shaylee's...
That's what we can title it. Wait, that can be the title. After birth.
Yeah. That sounds like something I want to click on. I can't wait to pick a picture. So Shaylee has a birth story.
I do.
I have 4 birth stories, but I'll be very concise because, you know.
Do they all mold together at that point? Because, like, my one is a little fuzzy. And I feel like if you did 4.
Yeah. Well, they were all, I guess they were all very similar experiences, but I do have a couple funny little anecdotes. If you're like, okay, if you're listening and you're like, I've never had a baby, I don't plan to have a baby, and this topic makes me scared, we're going to tell you the funny portions and not necessarily like gross, graphic, scary details.
And then you can like drop fun little like, if you run into a stranger and all they're talking about is their birth story, you can just be like, when I was induced.
Yeah.
You can, this happened.
You can drop you some can lingo. Okay.
You can own it. If you don't already know.
Let me recap what I think you just said. If you decide to lie to a stranger
about having a fictitious baby,
then we've got some lingo for you to use. Okay. But yeah. Before we get into that, of course, you heard our sponsors for this episode, but we do have one more fake sponsor to thank.
Of course.
This episode is brought to you by Hospital Gowns.
Why do they call them gowns? Is it like a Disney princess?
Because they're very formal. Like,
is it reverse psychology? Like, this is pretty bad. What if we called it a gown? Go with that. Go with that, Roger. That's a good idea.
Roger. Oh, I want so much to believe that Roger was the designer.
It was a man.
Was yours not made out of taffeta?
Yeah, mine was made out of like sandpaper.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's what I meant.
Right. Nothing feels like nothing has made me feel more violated in my life than having to wear a hospital gown that's just flailing open, and then you're sitting in the room for like 45 minutes and you're just trying to like keep everything covered, and you're like, why am I trying so hard? It's all going to be out there.
Yeah,
but I am. I'm still trying so hard.
I know. Me too. I think it's a modesty problems, but I would say too. Nothing made me feel as violated as a hospital gown until they gave me a nursing hospital gown. Did you guys have those?
I think I just like didn't wear clothes after and forgot that I could. And I just like basically was just like all out there for the world to see for like 2 days.
Yeah.
So no.
Well, let me tell you, it is a hospital gown that's not only open in the back, it has 2 slits in front.
Breast openings.
Yeah. In case, you know, you just need easy access. It's like they just stay open. They're just, I couldn't get them to close. So it was very National Geographic.
You also have a larger bust line than I do. So mine were probably closed fine. I didn't even notice it.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, okay. So we need some taglines for hospital gowns because like us, most people are kind of haters. So we need to win people over.
We need to win for these gowns.
Hospital gowns. Summer breeze makes me feel fine. I wrote that.
Oh, hospital gowns. Hey, in-laws and grandpa. Sorry that I forgot I was in this when I was moseying to the bathroom with my little drip roller.
You had
IV.
You had mesh panties on.
Oh, gosh. There was a lot of coverage. Between the ice pack and the mesh panties, there wasn't a lot of, like, detail that could be, like, seen. So, yeah, we're probably good.
You're good. Okay, thanks, hospital gowns, TM.
Thanks, hospital gowns.
Okay, so I figured what we could do is just tell our little funny anecdotes and then...
Funny stories, highlights.
And then end with some actual tips, because as much as I love telling stories, I do love a good tip. You know me.
Practical advice.
I love practical advice. So we'll end with that so you don't just walk away with nothing.
Good. I'm glad I know about Katie's birth story. That was like running into a stranger at Subway and having to listen to them talk about something I don't care about.
Okay. So I'll just do a brief recap of my other births. So Callie, Emerson, and Nora, right? I have like a 7-year-old, a almost 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and then this little newbie, Sadie. I love her.
Oh, my gosh,
her.
I can see her. We're FaceTiming. So we're trying something new, and I can see her.
Yeah, I'm wearing her because I just didn't know if she was going to last the whole podcast, so here you go. Anyway, so my very first birth, my birth plan was like, maybe I'll get an epidural. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. My advice is, if you say maybe we'll get an epidural, you're probably going to get an epidural.
You're getting the epidural.
So maybe on your birth plan isn't like, you know, a real plan. But I guess my plan was to be flexible. So that worked out.
Right.
I think if you don't want one, you probably need to like do some research and like try a little. Maybe have like a doula or somebody who's like, you know, in there with you and coach you through it. Because I will say, my mom was laughing. Who did have natural birth? Shout out. She was laughing because from the time you're admitted, and then like I can't even count the number of times. Every time a nurse switched, every time somebody came in, they were like, "And you're getting an epidural, right? And when did you want your epidural?" Like, it was just such a given that she was like, "I think nurses and people, like, over the years, like, they know their job's easier if people just get an epidural." So it's almost like they're pushing for it, which I don't know about that. But I do think it's probably just so common now that people just assume you're getting one. So, again.
Well, and formal disclaimer, we have a lot of friends who have done this all natural with no drugs. Virtual high five to you.
Totally.
This is in no way saying everyone should get an epidural.
No.
However, we have, and we've enjoyed them thoroughly, and this is just our description of our experience. So this is not pro-epidural. Well, I mean, we're pro-epidural, I suppose. But to each their own, and women are strong and can totally do it and have done it for 100 years, go you guys.
Go you guys. I guess what I'm saying is, if you feel passionate that you don't want one, be passionate, because if you're very lukewarm... It's very easy to be convinced. They're like, "Are you in pain? Do you want to not be in pain anymore?" And you're like, "Uh-huh." That'd be great.
What if you could like half feel it but not the pain part?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want that. Yeah. I want that.
I want that. That'd be cool. Anyway, so Callie, it took like a really, really long time to dilate at all, and then finally once I did, it was like, "Go, go, 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 go." I mean, I think I was in labor for 8 hours before I was even like at a 2. So, I don't know. I probably should not have been induced, to be honest with you. It seems like she was not quite ready. But anyway, once I had her, I feel like the other births were a little more, like my body knew what to do. So they went a little quicker. Not much, but at least steady, like 2 and then a 3 and then a 4. Also, if you're not familiar with birth terms, we're talking about the dilation of a cervix.
She just wants to make sure that if you don't know what we're talking about, we're offending you.
Yeah.
We just want to, like, break it down.
A vagina has to open.
Now we're going to have to put explicit on this episode.
You're right.
You just explicited us.
Are you ashamed of the female anatomy? Why do we have to bleep that?
No.
Woman power. Power. Okay.
I'm raising my fist. Okay.
Okay. So anyway, but yes, I did get an epidural with the first 3 kids. I was induced with all 3 because they were such big babies. 7 pounds. And then, but so now I'm just going to focus on Sadie's story because it's kind of funny. Okay. So we were scheduled for a Monday induction, and I was like just a couple days shy of my due date, and I was so swollen. Shaylee can attest.
There was a lot of swelling happening.
I was in public with Shaylee like a couple days before my induction date, and a literal stranger stopped and said, "Oh, honey," she goes, "your feet." And I go, "I know." She said, "I'm a licensed massage therapist. I promise I'm not just like a random, crazy person, but do you want me to try some stuff?" And a stranger dropped to her knees like Jesus and like basically washed my feet with her massage therapy. And it felt so good for those moments. It didn't do any long-term goodness.
We were at a preschool play place. And I look over and Katie's on a park bench with a stranger with her like Birkenstocks off, like compressing with her hands.
For the record, when your Birkenstocks don't fit anymore, it's time to be induced.
It'll be like, we'll be the Jeff Foxworthy, you know, you're a redneck.
Yes. And
you
also,
it's time to be induced.
Also, I want to shout out to what a good friend Shaylee is. What is her thought when her swollen, fat friend is being massaged by a stranger? She says, "I'm going to take video of this." So thanks to Shaylee, I have video. Maybe we'll post it on the IG.
Who knows?
Anyway, so very, very swollen, very ready to get the baby out. I was just extremely, I kept saying like, it's different. I can't explain it. It just feels like, I don't know. Like, I feel like, ooh, I don't know. Am I okay? Am I like dying? Anyway, turns out I was carrying a 10 pounder and didn't know it. And they didn't know it either. And so it was kind of a big lackadaisical, maybe we'll induce you, let's see. So I got scheduled as an elective induction on a Monday, and something happened, a full moon or something, I don't know. Apparently, October 2nd is one of the statistically highest birth days in the year. As people said something about count back 40 weeks and it's like New Year's or something. I don't know. People be ringing in the new year. but anyway, since I was an elective induction, I had to sit there and they were like, well, maybe we'll get to you. And then just literally a parade of pregnant women in labor, one by one, just walked in and took any bed that might be available. And anyway, I eventually got sent home. And then, in a strange turn of events, my three other children got chickenpox that day. So
yeah.
I was there being told.
You were live texting me while you were there. And you were like, update, Nora has chickenpox. And then you're like, update, they all three have chickenpox.
So then I'm being told by a pediatrician that I shouldn't be near them, even though I'd had them before, because it's whatever. They've all been vaccinated. It's like this strangest thing. If you're a nurse or doctor and you're listening, please explain to me how
break
my kids
this down
got
for us.
Chickenpox. I don't understand.
I do think, though, from someone who's seen kids with chickenpox who hadn't been vaccinated for it, I think that without it, it would have lasted like two weeks of miserable, and yours lasted like 5 days.
Yes, exactly.
4 days?
So, yeah. So I'm being told you're not being induced today, which is always like a very tragic, sad moment, because you're like, I'm having a baby today, and you're like, this is your birthday. We did a video on the way there. We're like, happy birthday, Sadie. It's October 2nd. The sun is shining. Oh my gosh, we're going to meet you today. And then they're like, you need to go home. And actually, we don't have anything tomorrow either. So you have to come back in 2 days. And my sister had already taken off work and she'd driven 5 hours to be there. So she turned around and went home. I know, it was so sad. And
my favorite text from you is when you were like, because you were a little bit before your actual due date. You were like, all these ladies are coming in here in active labor, walking past me, and I'm over here like, what am I supposed to do? Just sit here before my due date and wait? Or
I said,
something.
You didn't even call ahead. You didn't even, you didn't even have the audacity to plan. And Shaylee goes, if I was a hostess, I would definitely seat you first. I'm like, thank you. This is exactly the same. Totally a joke. Love you, pregnant ladies. So happy you had your baby on October 2nd. Good job. Anyway, so I got sent home, and then we came back on Wednesday, and the pediatrician said, just try to keep the other big kids away from the newborn for a week, which is kind of tricky when you're a stay-at-home mom and you don't typically use childcare. So, but we worked it out. The grandmas rallied, and the birthday was totally fine, totally normal. I was dilating normally. It took about 12 hours to get to a 10. Now here's where it was kind of tricky. I got to a 10, and normally when you're at a 10, it's like time to push, right?
Right.
And, there was no like pushing feeling at all. And the doctor was even like, she has not dropped at all. And I was like, that's strange.
And Sadie was like, I'm stuck.
How am I supposed to drop? I'm a million pounds. And so, anyway, the doctor even said, because it was like 9 p.m. at that point, and I was pretty sure she was getting hangry. And I was like, have you eaten? I'm worried about you. She's like,
Doctor, says Katie at a 10 with a 10 pounder.
And she's like, no, well, it's fine. And I was like, you need to eat. Go eat. Go home. Eat. She's like, well, my husband did cook a steak tonight. I'm like, go eat your steak. Come on. And she goes, why don't you do a practice push? And so I did a practice push. She's like, okay, I'm going home. She hasn't dropped at all. So my doctor left at 10.
And ate a steak. And you're like, I'll just sit here with my ice chips.
So they put me in some crazy, like, funny upright position. And apparently that was going to make her drop. And it did, because all of a sudden, like 2 hours later, I was like, oh, I need to push. So here's
what'd you do for those 2 hours?
I sat there just chatting. We were having a great time. I'm not going to lie.
You were entertaining your ladies.
I was
hashtag epidural.
Well, I had my mom and my mother-in-law and my husband. Because you can kind of just have as many people as you want during the leg.
Until you push.
Yeah, until you push. And then they're kind of like, they make it a little more streamlined, because my dad was popping in and out. And I don't know. He was laughing because he remembers my mom in labor. So he kept watching like the contraction chart. And he's like, oh my gosh, can you feel that? And I was like, ouch. Yeah. No, I can't. I feel awesome.
Owie.
So anyway, most people I've talked to get kind of shaky when it's time to push. So here's my one little funny little anecdote from this labor was like, pushing is so intense. Like, it's like the movies. Like, you like, I don't know if everyone's like this, but like, it was a really good epidural in the sense that I couldn't feel contractions, but I could feel the pushing. Like, you could feel the pressure. You could feel like what you needed to do. And so, it's like very like a guttural, like you're like, ah, like I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm making noises like in movies. Oh gosh, this is getting kind of intense. And so it took a lot more pushing with her than the tiny little 7 pounders that I had before. And so the pushing was like, everyone's like, go, 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 go. And since my body was shaky and I had like a nurse holding each leg and my mom was holding like an arm and my husband was holding like a arm too, I was like, all that was like free were my shoulders.
Your shimmy shoulders.
So they were like shimmying. I mean, like out of control, like a crazy dancer. And so I'd scream during pushing and everyone felt like really intense. And then as I was sitting there, I was like, oh, look at those.
I didn't even know what these are doing.
And so then I just kept like, I don't know. I was just like dying laughing and they were all laughing. It was like a very laughy, funny pushing. And, I don't know. I always say, like, when I'm pushing, it's time to do my stand-up because I'm like, an audience? Oh. Let me see if I can entertain you since you're all looking at me. But anyway, so it went from very laughy to, like, 2 hours of pushing. I got a mirror this time.
Oh, the mirror.
Yeah. Crazy.
How did you feel about it?
Train wreck. I was like, who's that? That can't be me.
I feel sorry for her.
That looks like something that's really gross. That can't be.
Oh no.
but also like a car wreck, you can't look away once you see it. So anyway, pushed, and then she got a little bit out, and the doctor got really serious, and she was like, "Look at me," and I was like, "Okay." She's like, "Look at my eyes," and I'm like, "Okay," and she's like, "This is a very big baby," and I'm like, "Okay." And I was like, in my brain is just like, C-section, 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 like it's not going to happen. And she goes, big babies can get stuck. So if you hear me say stop pushing, you need to stop immediately. No matter.
So wait, so she was saying big baby, big baby.
This is a big baby and you need to stop pushing if I tell you to, because big babies can get stuck. And I'm like, okay. And then she's like, okay. And then I go, do you think I can do it? And she's like, we'll find out. I said, I need to hear you say you think I can do it. She's like, I think you can do it, but this is like, it's, it kind of felt like it's now or never. And so I'm like, okay. And then my mom said, if I had been watching at that moment, which I was like, I had left my body at that moment. She was doing some like crazy maneuvering as my final push and like got her out of there. So I was like, what just happened? And then I gracefully cried. I'm sure it wasn't graceful, but in my mind, I had teary eyes and all the feelings when my first three were born. I was like sobbing uncontrollably when they handed me Sadie. I don't know if it was just like so much exhaustion and the pushing or whatever, or just the fact that like her whole story was crazy. And then there she was.
The chicken pox.
Everything. But I was like, oh my gosh. And it was the best moment ever. Cause she was so cute and her cheeks were so chubby and her hair was dark.
If you haven't seen a picture of Sadie, go to our Instagram or Katie's Instagram right now.
Yeah.
It's at Shaylee and Katie or at Oh Katie Day. And she's like the cutest baby.
She's very cute.
She's on all of our Instagrams. Yeah. She's so cute. She's like the woodland creature baby with big cheeks and adorable. I mean, yeah.
Well, and the first three really, really looked like Jared. Like as soon as they were born, they were like, oh my gosh, these all look like Jared. And so I was a really chubby cheeked, dark haired baby. So I don't know. It kind of felt like I was like, oh, I got one. But anyway, then they weighed her and even the doctor was like, what? I thought maybe in the nines, but man. And so anyway, so then she was born. I love her. It's been a very blurry, sleep deprived 4 weeks, but I'm starting to feel more human and recovery is fine-ish. It's not, it's not great.
Yeah.
It's not great, but it's fine.
And you're not 100%. You're about 50%.
I'm not 100%. I think, sometimes in my brain, I think I am. And then I'm like, I'm going to go for a long walk. And at the end, I'm like, oh, walking
that
is hard.
That doesn't feel good.
Why is walking hard? But no complaints. Really, truly, I feel very grateful that I've had four healthy kids with healthy deliveries.
Yes.
Four good epidurals.
I'm thankful for the health of my children and epidurals.
And now I want to hear about Opal's birth story.
I'm tossing it.
Oh, my goodness.
Tossing it over.
That's so good. So my like die on the sword was that I didn't want to be induced. I did want the epidural, but my like, I feel like my like, my like, but I'm kind of natural
right.
is the like, I want to go into natural labor and then immediately not feel it, but go into it naturally. So I was after my due date. So my in-laws actually came in town the day before my due date. They're from Kansas City. They live about 2.5 hours away. So they came in town the day before my due date, which was like a Sunday. So then we all waited Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then everyone was just waiting. They had taken off work.
Oh, my gosh.
And so finally by Friday, also they thought she was measuring on the larger side, not 10 pounds, but they were thinking there was a good chance she could be in the nines. So at that point, finally, I was like, fine, I can be induced. But I was dilated to a 3 and like 70 to 80% effaced for like 2 weeks before my due date. So my doctor was like, I can't even believe this baby is still inside of you. Like, I don't even know how it's happening, like how it's staying in there. So my induction was very, they weren't having to get anything going. Basically, I just walked in and they like broke my water and she was so low that like it didn't even, nothing even happened for a while.
Yeah.
Because she was like a plug. And so finally water came out and then it went from like 0 to 100. So ladies who have done this naturally, I've gotten 1 hour of real labor at like a 4 or 5. And all I could visualize, I don't want to scare anyone who's having a baby because immediately I was like, I'd do that again. So, but I felt like I was in Saving Private Ryan and I had been shot in the stomach and I was holding my insides out of my stomach, just kind of like walking through a field. That's how I visualized it laying in the hospital bed. I was like, I'm like a war hero. I'm living through. And then it was like, whoop, the epidural's here. Okay, so then I'll say this about anybody nervous about, and I'm, again, we're not like sponsored by epidurals. We almost were, but we didn't want to be controversial, so we just decided to talk about them the whole time. But anyway, it was like, it did not even hurt. And I had seen my sister get one, and so I knew like the whole needle thing, and it's kind of scary. But if you're in like legit labor, like you're like, you can do that 7 times in a row, like if you want to, I'm good. And so I one funny story was it took the epidural guy, anesthesiologist, I guess is the appropriate term. It took him 1 hour to get there. But in my contraction world.
Yeah, foggy.
It felt like 10 or 15 minutes, even though it was like terrible pain. I had no idea, no concept of time. And so he came in and I go, oh, thanks for getting here so soon. And what I didn't know is that they had all been like, shouting at him in the hallway, like, where have you been? And like my mom was going, she needs her epidural. And so everyone was mad at him. They hadn't been able to find him. Everyone was furious it had taken them so long. So he walks in and I go, thanks for getting here so quickly. And so he thinks, as do my mother and my husband, that I'm just being like a jerk. And so Jonathan said he was like, I cannot believe she's being like rude to him. Like she's never rude to anybody. And then he like did the epidural and he talked to me and I was like, thank you again for getting here so fast. And I think I said it all in like really monotone. And I was anyway. And then he responded by saying, yeah, well, you know, there's just a lot going on today, you know, and I got here as soon as I could, but everything was kind of shuffled around. And I remember thinking, well, he's being so humble. And so then I left and they were like, Shaylee, I cannot believe. And I'm like, what? No, I was being sincere. And they were like, it took him like 1 hour to get here after they ordered it. And I was like, I thought it was like 15 minutes. So then when he came back in, I had to be like, hey, so before when I was saying I thought it had been like 15 minutes and it had been a long time. And so then I like did the formal disclaimer, but like, I wasn't being rude. Thank you. It was a genuine thank you. So there was
only
that.
Only Shaylee, like in active labor, is like worried about everyone else's feelings.
I was very concerned. Then I had my whole birth plan, which was full of disclaimers like, I want this, but again, you're the professional and I know that you've been to school. So really whatever you feel like, this is what I'd like. But like, if you think that some other, like, feel free to let me know. So my birth plan then, fun fact, I got so flustered when I got there, I couldn't even find it. It was folded in a hospital bag. So I ended up not even giving her that. And I think my only big birth plan node, like, what I didn't want is I didn't want any Pitocin. And so then after they put me into labor and I got the epidural, they were like, I mean, we could give you a little bit. And I was like, I mean, maybe a little bit. Give me a little bit of Pitocin. So again, by the end, it was kind of like everything was a little subjective, but I had my like principles for some reason. But I've even heard from friends that started out as a home birth, all natural, were in labor for 40 hours, ended up going to the hospital, getting an epidural. I mean, you don't, it's like your life plan. You can plan, but it could turn up. I mean, I have a friend that had two babies at home, all natural, and then had their third in the hospital with a C-section because of complications.
Right.
So all that to say, everyone can have their ideal plans, but you just have to know at the end of the day, every birth story is going to be different. And at the end of it, nobody gets a medal for how you got there. You just hope for a happy and healthy baby and a mom.
I think you do get a medal, and it's a baby.
It's a baby.
It's a trophy.
Yeah. You don't get a medal. You get a baby. But all that to say, even if you have your big plan, and all of us, like, I mean, it's kind of like trying to, like, not let Opal have sugar until one, but then getting her McDonald's chicken nuggets. It's like, where do I draw the line? Who's to say? So all of that to say, everyone has their own principles and things that are important to them, so that's really good, but don't get so focused on how you want everything to go that you get super stressed out, because just know it's crazy. I mean, having a baby is a big deal medically. It's like one of the, you know, biggest things. There's so many things that can shift and change, and they're monitoring you, they're monitoring the baby. So all of that to say, some things went a little bit different, but I would say my whole pregnancy, my induction or whatever a week late, and then my birth, everything went really well. I will say for me, the recovery was less expected.
Right.
As far as like the time that it took me to bounce back. The other fun story would be that we had done a video and needed a nurse. We did a video for one of the colleges, and they were like, oh, we have a nursing program at our college with the local hospital. You can use one of our gals for this video. And we were like, oh, great, because it's for the college. So we met a girl, and she was working at the hospital that I delivered at. And she's like, when is your due date? Super sweet. So that was the first time I had met her. So I just told her when my due date was. Well, anyway, long story short, she ended up watching, I guess, and ended up getting assigned to me when I had, like, months later, like 4 months later, when I had Opal. So she comes in the hospital room, and she's like, hey! And I was like, oh my goodness, hey! You? We know each other! And so anybody who's had the baby knows that the nurses come to you with the restroom and help you tend to yourself afterwards with the ice packs and the mesh underwear and all of that kind of thing. But there's a lot that is seen and helped with that you need help with, because you can't really walk well if you had an epidural. Anyway, so this girl that had been in a video that I knew just in passing ended up being my nurse, which was awesome. And she was so great and so sweet, but I just felt so bad for her. I felt bad. I apologized to, I think, every single nurse that I had that they were having to do this. I was like, I'm so sorry. Did you know what you were signing up for? And she goes, I think I thought it was probably like more babies when I was like, I'll work on the baby floor of all the newborn babies. And it's like more maybe helping moms than looking at newborn babies. But anyway, so that was my other weird story. But other than that, she was great. And I loved.
Did you cry?
I didn't cry. We're not really criers.
Who's we?
I think I teary'd me and Jonathan.
Oh.
I've seen him cry twice in like 11, 12 years.
I've never seen Jared cry, so that's.
Oh, okay. Okay. We'll work on that.
I'd love for him to
cry. One was not our wedding, I will say. So anyway, it's less about happy. We don't cry over happy events. We cry maybe more for sad stuff. Anyway, so no, it was good. And she was sweet, and we took 1,700 pictures in the hospital room, and we took her home, and now she's two.
Without getting really specific, I think it might be encouraging, just in case someone's listening, like, it took you a long time to recover.
Yes!
So maybe just say how long, so they don't feel like they're alone.
So So first of all, you have a baby and they're like 6 weeks and you should be back to normal stuff, life. And so I got to like 6 weeks and was just like, no, I am not. There is something wrong, like majorly wrong. Yeah. And so I remember even before the 6 weeks, I think at like 4 weeks, maybe four, I don't even remember, but I called the doctor and they were like, no, everything's good. So I went in at 6 weeks and they were like, everything is great, perfect, wonderful. There was some healing that needed to happen. And so they said everything looked perfect and great. Well, anyway, then even like 14 weeks after, I was like, no, like this is not right. And from then I kind of started talking to a few of my friends about it.
Right.
They were like, yeah, that doesn't sound right. Like that doesn't sound normal. So I had to go back to my doctor again and talk through. And then they were just kind of like, you know, it might just not ever.
There's no hope. Normal. There's no hope.
Your life just may never be normal. And I cried and it was awesome. And my doctor, who's very not emotional, just watched me. And so
there.
And then she's like, you know, it could be worse, I think is what she said. It was awesome. It's what everyone wants to hear when they're sad about themselves. Okay, so then I would say I ended up going back to see my doctor. I was so glad that I did. Call your nurse and go see your doctor if you need to. And then I would say about a year after is when I was finally like, oh, okay. Like, I'm pretty much normal. Again, I feel normal. Like, everything is more normal than I thought that it would be. But it took a long time. And so I think that don't compare yourself to the other mom friends who were like out cartwheeling around
right
six weeks after, because everything's different and everyone's, I'm just kind of a weird sensitive like person. So like I break out in rashes easy and right. like I pass out sometimes from shots. And so right. like my nerves and everything, like I just didn't heal the same way and as quickly as some people do. So anyway, that was I felt really like I didn't have, I did a lot of Googling, but I feel like there wasn't a lot of content out there or people to talk to or people who were talking about it. So,
yeah, no, I think that's really good that you shared. And I would say too, like, I think like sometimes you can compare yourself throughout the whole process. So like if someone who's like, I love being pregnant, I almost feel like my right. hormones make me happier. Like, I feel more.
I loved being pregnant. I was kind of depressed I was going to have the baby and my pregnancy was going to be over.
Okay, see that. Like, that. And so, like, someone who has a horribly terrible pregnancy could listen to that and be like, gosh, even pregnancy is blissful on Shaylee. Shaylee, like, nothing is ever bad for Shaylee. Well, then Shaylee had a good birth, like, good pregnancy, good birth, and then a terrible recovery. Or, you know, right. someone might have a great pregnancy, horrible birth, great recovery. Like, it just seems like you,
totally.
You just
breastfeeding,
can't.
Breastfeeding was yes. super easy for me.
Right.
Like, really easy. It came, I never had any, I mean, I had a huge baby. Not huge. She was 8 pounds, all 8 point whatever. But she grew. She was always in like the 90th percentile. And that's something that I know can be a huge struggle for people
right.
and really emotional and difficult. And so like there were other things that came really easy, but you don't get everything.
You don't get
everything. There'll be something.
Well, you don't get everything. And then also just you don't know what people are actually going through. So if you, I mean,
right,
if you were to
right.
hit up Shaylee's Instagram at that time. You know,
my hair looked cute.
Right. And you might
out.
Say like, gosh, she just had this great pregnancy, great birth, and she can even breastfeed easily. But you didn't know that she was like going through something really hard for an entire year. Like you just never know. So I think it's,
yeah.
I think it's like, it's encouraging. I guess it's just, it's another warning to not compare because you just never
I would
know.
Have been happy to listen to my story
during
six
that time.
6 weeks out. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure. For sure. Okay.
And so now I never want to scare moms, but when I hear that they've like had similar deliveries, I always want to be like, so listen, your situation is going to be great. It's not going to be the same, but just know that it took me a year.
Right.
So there's no rush.
Right.
It can be, yeah, you can be whatever.
Yeah.
So.
I like that.
Yeah.
So hang in there, peeps. If you're having a hard pregnancy, hang in there. And you're like, Katie, if you're having an easy pregnancy, but a bad recovery, hang in there.
That's why when I found out you had a 10-pounder, I was like, so how's sitting? Like, are you able to sit without crying? Like, how is that going? Like, yeah, so I wasn't normal. Okay, just wanted
right.
to make...
No,
yeah.
you weren't normal.
I couldn't get in and out of, like, a bathtub, which is, like, what you're supposed to do 4 times a day or whatever. So
yeah.
Good stuff.
That's not good. But look at Opal!
I was going to say, she's worth it.
Oh. I had such a terrible, terrible end of my pregnancy that the whole first night in the hospital when I was holding Sadie, I literally was crying and whispering to her, you were worth it. You were worth it. You were worth it the whole time. And I knew I would know it later, but I just didn't know it then. Anyway, okay, so let's...
Once again, this is a good illustration of why Katie and I together would be the perfect human.
I feel like you could pick any two opposites and say that.
Any two opposites people.
Yeah. We'll just add that gift and get rid of that weakness and yeah.
Perfect.
Well,
perfect.
Okay, so let's just get into some random practical tips to end
practical
this thing.
Tips.
Cool. I was going to talk about, you can Google a list of stuff to bring to the hospital and that's totally good and easy. These are just a couple random things that aren't on those lists typically. That I kind of
can I say I Googled a list before this and one of the items on it, I don't want this to be offensive to anyone, but I found it a little bit giggly.
Oh my gosh, I bet it's the same item that I giggled over.
Is it? Okay, wait. This was actually, they popped it up on the partner, what the partner might need to pack.
Oh, okay.
And it was a swimsuit in case they want to get in the birthing pool with you.
I like it.
I don't know. Maybe there's husbands out there who'd go for that. Jonathan probably wouldn't even go for the birthing pool, let alone climbing in there with me with everything else that's in the water. I'm just saying.
What a good husband who is out there who's like, got my Speedo. Let's get in the birthing tub.
Who needs a swimsuit? Who needs a swimsuit? Honey, if you're exposed, I'm exposed.
Solidarity. Well, the one I giggled at was that said, bring a framed picture of your other kids so when they visit the hospital, they don't think you forgot them.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Okay, so those are the things we don't think you necessarily are a must, but, you know, they could be good.
They could be bonus. Okay, no. Okay. The normal list is good, like pajamas and toiletries and whatnot, play some music and all that stuff. But here's just some random stuff that I didn't necessarily find on any list, but I found helpful by the time I had my fourth. So one is at night... Most hospitals have to keep the room very, very warm for the baby. There's like a default, like 75 degrees or something like that. And your hormones are going crazy or they're rising and plummeting all night long. So sometimes you're really warm and sometimes you're not. But I found myself super, super hot. And the first couple times I didn't pack like any tank top or shorts. I had jammies and
long
whatever.
Pajama pants.
Right. So I think just if you can pack for all types of room climate layer or whatever, then you won't be stuck like, I'm so unbelievably hot and there's nothing I can do about it. So that's for you. This next one's called First World Problems. I learned after my first birth to not only bring your phone charger, but bring a little extension cord. Because usually the outlet is nowhere near.
I need to update my text thread.
Well, or just like, even in the recovery, like if you're in bed the whole next day and you're kind of just wanting to, update people. Usually the outlet is nowhere near
bed. I didn't
do
that. And that would have been like a game changer for me.
What?
Extension phone charger.
Oh, okay, good, good.
I had to like wedge it like at the top of my pillow.
Yeah, that's what
and
I'm
then,
saying.
Like muddle it down.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, yeah. And then the other thing too is if you happen to be a photographer, I brought my DSLR with me. And, but then didn't bring my laptop. And you really are, I mean, you're there for the hospital for like 48 hours and a lot of that is downtime. Maybe the baby's sleeping or whatnot. And so I was kind of feeling like, oh, I kind of want to post one of those cool pictures. Like, whatever. It's not necessary. But if you bring your laptop, it's kind of fun.
This is Katie's list. No disclaimers. This is your list.
This is my list. The other thing is they're going to swaddle your baby in like a hospital blanket, which is totally great. And they're professional swaddlers. But if you're a first-time mom, you may not have the swaddle down yet. And one of my very favorite newborn products is the sleep sack swaddle because it Velcros into place and it zips and whatnot. It's like a no-brainer. So if you want to go ahead and pack that, then when you're in charge of the swaddling, you don't have to feel like, I don't know, it's not tight enough, I don't know.
I use that too. And she would like vomit on the swaddle and in the middle of the night we'd be like, what are we going to do without the one swaddle? That's the only swaddle.
You got to buy five. You got to buy five of those.
Or two.
And then this one, if you are still listening around minute 40, I'm assuming that the cervix does not scare you and the
cervix still scares me. Let's
the
be
dilation
honest.
Doesn't scare you. So I think I can say the word nipple. I think seems like a nipple free
bottle nipple, right?
Nipple? I was going to say, go ahead and pack a nipple shield because
yeah.
you if you've never breastfed before, or even if you have, I had three kids who latched right away, and then little Miss Sadie, of all the kids, wouldn't do it. It's crazy. So yeah. You just never know. You could think, like, I've got this down, and then the baby's different. So I had my mom actually swing by and buy one, and that was the ticket while in the hospital. So,
and I'll say, too, I, like, forgot I could put a bra on, like, even a nursing bra.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's why I said the hospital gown was made out of sandpaper, because I forgot a lot of things. We'll go through that in a second. But, yeah, the hospital gown rubbing on you is, like, torture.
Right.
If you're, like, breastfeeding for the first time.
Yeah, totally. You definitely want to pack a nursing bra or nursing tank top.
Not torture. We don't want to scare people. It's worth it. Just painful. Less not comfortable.
I think I'd rather know. I don't know.
Yeah.
In my mind, it's encouraging to hear something's bad. And then when you're doing it and it's bad, you're like, oh, good. I'm normal. Oh, okay. Or if it's good, you're like, oh, good. It's not as bad as I thought.
Yes.
So rather than be like, everything's blissful and rainbows.
Yes, that's good.
I don't know. Okay, so those were it for the things that I maybe would have forgotten.
Okay, so I will say just tips of remembering. I forgot, I think it was until the day we were coming home, I forgot that I could change into another outfit. So I brought outfits, but the actual changing into it part, I remember being like, wait, am I allowed to wear my own clothes now? And they were like, yes, you can change into your own clothes whenever. So I wore that hospital gown for everyone and all the photos for everyone who came to visit me, which part of that is it's just kind of easy because even though we made fun of the slit, I mean, it is easy access to just kind of get whatever you need to all the time.
Right.
But I would have changed into a regular outfit sooner or like a little thin robe.
Yeah.
Then I would also say a nursing bra that was way more comfortable when I didn't have like the back and forth action when I would walk, when it was just like contained.
Yeah.
That was awesome. And also, I'm assuming even if you're not breastfeeding or you're having trouble with it, you're still gonna have milk come in, so you're probably still gonna want something. And then I would also add that I forgot, which, not saying you need to, this is personal opinion, I am a kind of conservative, modest person just because that's what my body naturally wants, to not be exposed to people. Just for me, there's no big soapbox behind it. It's just I don't want to be uncovered. So when people say, like, breastfeeding in public, I'm like, go for it. I'm covering for myself,
right.
Not for the sake of other people. I don't want my breasts exposed to others.
Right.
Has nothing to do with other people. It's me. Anyway, I forgot that I could cover while nursing. Totally forgot. So, like, my grandpa and brother-in-law and everyone came, and I was like, can you have them stay outside while I'm trying to nurse her? Because it takes, like, 45 minutes, and I don't know what I'm doing yet. And they all just kind of came in because, of course, they're not thinking about it, and they were, like, trying not to, like, look over there. And I felt so exposed, and it was, like, 24 hours later when I was like, oh, I can cover myself. I can cover myself up. And then also I had friends come to visit. Anyway, that was just something my brain just for some reason was in such a weird place. I forgot that I could cover myself. So if you have a cute little swaddle or something, that I would recommend. Just like a reminder. I guess minor things that I just forgot that I could do, but
right.
I had all in my blanket. And then I would say, too, I used about 20% of things that I actually had in there.
Yeah.
I brought my boppy. I didn't bring an extra pillow, but I brought my boppy for the baby.
Totally bring your boppy. I didn't bring it last time, and I was like, why? Why did I do that?
Yeah. Also, I will say, this is something, this will be Shaylee's tips more than packing things, but I don't know if this is, like, technically illegal, because I feel like I paid for everything that was in that room, but I would, like, smuggle, if there were, like, two pairs of mesh panties left, and, like, an ice pack. I would put them in my bag and then be like, hey, can I get some more of those? Because the boxes would be empty because the extras were in my bag. But one of the nurses even told me that, like, hey, you can take extra ones of those home. So I would just say anything that you have extra of, for sure take it home, because then it's all just like throwaway and you don't have to worry about it. And it's just a little bitty level of you don't care about looking cute, you know, wearing cute underwear. You want like functional.
Yes, totally.
Functional throwaway is awesome.
Totally.
Yeah.
Now you're ready to have a baby in a hospital.
And now you're ready to have an epidural baby in a hospital while induced. We were both induced.
I know. Wah, wah, wah.
Wah, wah. We did our best. This is like the, like, half, like, we tried.
This is like the participation trophy birth plan.
We nursed him. Is that worth anything? No?
No.
Okay.
No. I was going to say, too, we have a tradition of taking a video in the hospital room a little, like...
You guys are so cute.
We talk to the baby before it comes out, and I love looking back at those and the kids now. Like, my 7-year-old is like, I want to watch my baby video. Like, on her birthday, she always wants to watch it. So, I don't know. If you can think through stuff like that, it's a pretty fun tradition.
Yeah.
We are just awesome. In time for our segment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
If you guys listened to Anna's episode, you actually heard audio of our live birth.
Right.
My live birth, Sadie's live birth.
Sadie.
It
was almost right.
And it was more of our prediction. Full disclosure, that wasn't real live audio. That was Shaylee performing the role.
I wasn't the doctor. The doctor was eating a steak.
She was performing the role as the doctor in that. And just in case anyone thought that was real audio. I just wanted to
That's a good disclaimer.
But now that we know how it actually played out, I'd kind of like to do it again. We could just do it briefly.
Okay.
So now Shaylee's the doctor. I'll be me. And this is just sort of a recap of how it went in real time.
Okay. Ready? So I'll be the doctor.
We'll start at dilation 10, okay?
Dilation 10. Okay. Well, Katie, yes. Jared, it's going to be a huge baby.
Oh, gosh.
But honestly, I'm kind of getting a little hangry for a steak. So let me, hold on. Can you give me one push? Give me a practice push. Yeah, I'm going to go eat that steak. I'll be right back.
Speaking of steak, how big's the baby? Well, she's
huge.
Gone. She's gone.
It's going to be huge.
She's gone. Cool, Vaughn. I'll just sit here and worry for 2 hours about that last comment. Okay. You think
and
she'll
then,
be back?
Okay, we're going to push again. I need some girthy, like... girthy pushing noises.
Tribal.
So, I need a tribal sound.
Okay, let me try.
So, ready? 1, 2, 3.
Ugh.
She's huge!
Oh, she out? Is she out?
Yeah, I skipped past like 14 of those.
That's good.
Okay. She's huge. She's a huge, healthy baby.
Okay.
She's not going to nurse as well as the other ones because she frankly doesn't need the nutrients as much.
Compare her to the size of your steak. Like
I feel like my steak was pretty, it was pretty huge, but probably only about the size of her massive head that just wedged its way through your birth canal.
It sure did. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks, Doc. I appreciate it.
Yeah, any time. Oh, I gotta go deliver another baby. We'll see you later.
Oh, okay. Oh, fun fact, Shaylee. Uh-huh. I had Jared. We had like Ingrid Michaelson, like really calm, soothing melodies all day. And then when she wasn't coming out, like 2 hours into pushing, I said, we need some 1990s jock jams. Like, can you change the playlist? And so literally he was looking for like, We Will Rock You and like, Eye of the Tiger. And, but you know, the nature of Pandora and Spotify, it's like, it just played randomly. So Sadie was pushed out to Smooth Criminal by Michael Jackson.
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, and my I'll gosh. Never look at
That's
it the same.
So good. Also, another thing you can add to Shay's tips that she forgot, play music in the room.
Yeah. Because
that sounds like it'd be nicer than just silence.
All right. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, guys. How long did you push?
Like 2-ish hours.
Oh, Katie. See, I only pushed for 30 minutes.
Well, my others were the 30 minutes, but my theory is she was like my other babies were like, I'll just wiggle down as you dilate, just peacefully wiggle my way down,
right.
And then I'll come out. And then I think Sadie was like, I'm going to need you to clear the path. I'm
stuck.
I'm waiting up here. And when you get to a 10, clear it, and here I go. And then she came all out.
I'm going to have to see I can safely make it out of here before I wedge down that long.
I need to see some light. Need to see some light.
Oh,
it was very like
the tunnel.
It was very much like the upside down.
Oh yes, literally. It was literally like the upside down. Everything was dark. There were floaties.
Yeah, yeah. And I gave birth to a demigorgon. So.
Shaylee and Katie, the podcast was recorded in Springfield, Missouri. Thank you so much for listening. We'd love to hear from you on Instagram, Facebook, and our favorite spot of all, an iTunes review. Also, feel free to email us at shayleeandkatie@gmail.com. We love hearing from you guys. Seriously. We love you.